Since you guys are into all the spooky shit, what do we think of Ed and Lorraine Warren? Because have you guys heard all the things about them lately? Is that like their whole thing was a con?
It was a con.
And like they were doing it for like movies and titles to like certain shit.
I'll take the whole conspiracy theory a level higher.
You do have to
admit
that house is pretty creepy, though.
Oh, dude.
Well, you guys heard about the guy that took the doll after they passed, right? He took the Annabelle doll?
Well, yeah, I did hear about that, but also Matt Rife is in charge of the doll right now, too.
He bought the house or whatever.
Yeah. I will say, speaking of, like, eerie houses, though, have you guys ever heard of John Watts?
No.
The guy that murdered his family and like stuffed his daughters into a oil well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember
I
that.
Lived a mile away from that guy.
Damn.
Oh, wow.
Are you serious?
Yep. In Longmont, Colorado.
That's crazy.
When that went down, it was like a whole local, it was actually national news. They made a whole Netflix thing about it.
Yeah.
But
American something.
Once he was actually like charged and went, to jail, the house was just empty. So me and my buddies one night were like, let's go check out the house. Like it's a mile down the street. And I've never felt like such eeriness just like radiating off of a house because it's just absolutely dead. And we went at like 1 a.m. just to make it a little bit spookier and just like seeing no life in this house. You were just kind of like, Oh shit. It's a little creepy. Like knowing what happened.
The energy was just kind of sucked out of the house itself. You're just like,
Yeah. Cause it's like, even if no one's home, like you could still see like, maybe a light or two, like some maybe like a fire alarm light or something. But this house was just just pitch black. Nobody's there. It's empty and they're all gone. And just knowing the backstory of it all, you're kind of like, oh my God.
Yeah, it was nuts.
It happened right here.
Yeah, it's super crazy. His wife was like a influencer or some shit like that.
She was trying to be. I don't know how successful she was, but she documented a lot of it.
Yeah. Crazy story. And he did it for, guess what? Guess why he did it.
Yeah, guess why?
PTSD.
Nope. No. Take another guess. Why would he kill his children and like...
And his wife. Why would he erase his whole life?
Well, that could go like a million directions.
I mean, my number one guess is is that what it was? Is he thought they were possessed or something?
No.
Okay. My number one guess is they threw out all his beer.
Possibly. Probably happened, but no.
The man broke. The man broke.
Cramping up his style.
I don't know.
He met a chick and literally...
Yep. Oh, new girl. Oh. A new life. He was like, I'm going to start a whole new life with this girl and no one's ever going to catch me. And wells that he put his kids in, he worked at.
Yeah.
Wasn't it one of his coworkers? Like,
that's so dark.
Saw I don't, him I, there I don't remember, or something.
Yeah. But there's cameras everywhere. So it was like,
and they're like, bruh. And did you see the interview of him? Like when they,
oh, he's so chill.
When they were like, what do you want to say to your family? Yeah, and he was like, I just want them to come home.
Yeah.
If they could come back, that'd be great. And I remember I got a call from like my mom and my grandma and they're like, he did it. He totally did it. And I was like, well, we don't know. Like, just calm down. Who knows? And then, yeah, sure enough, they were right. And I was like, all right, I guess I'm not going to doubt you guys.
They're interviewing the fucking thing. Yeah, if they came back, I'd be like pretty chill.
That'd be pretty
so it's
cool,
like,
I guess.
You know, if you want to come back or whatever, like, you know. Go ahead.
I'm going to toss up Netflix real quick.
I'll be waiting, just whenever you guys want to come back.
It'll be cool if they come back, but if not, I understand. I get it.
I mean, it's so tragic, like, what happened, but it's makes you wonder, like, how some of these people think, because it's like, he was just your everyday Joe.
Yeah.
Goes to, we call it King Supers out there, but it's Ralph's out here.
Uh-huh.
Just goes grocery shops, has his like family and whatnot, works a blue collar job, and then just one day snaps.
And then the whole
chick wasn't even that hot either.
That's real bummer, dude. Yeah. That's the real bummer.
It's like whatever.
No,
his
but
wife was like okay too. So I was like, bro, what are you doing?
Listen.
He was hot.
Listen, I mean, obviously, obviously he wasn't having that much luck with the ladies. I mean, if it's like a Uggo and he's like,
It's either that or she was just giving him some prime cutty. Hooking him up. Like,
yeah. Some might say he was a lady killer.
Yeah. Uh-huh. We got there.
That was dark.
We got there.
The stool. Podcast.
What do we want?
Mr. Stone!
Dad, who the hell are these assholes?
Guys are so mean. Those kids aren't real. Those kids.
We don't want your music.
You're their board, but
they're so embarrassing.
To win any motherfucker always be funny.
Nice work, you dunce.
Good intro.
All right. Yeah. Well, welcome to the Stool Podcast, everybody. I am Ranthony, here again, luckily in this chair and not that chair. And to my left, I have the one and only Mixture Domus. What's up, Mick?
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another great one. We're out here today. You know, we're with really cool company today. And before we get started today, go ahead and hit that like and subscribe button. And hit that beautiful bell icon for all future information about all future episodes. Thank you guys so much for giving us the love that you guys have been giving us lately. So we really appreciate that. I am Mixture Domus. Welcome to another great one. And to my left.
Do you want to toss it to our cool producer?
I mean, quick? I know I'm in the board, bitch, but
no love over there in the chair.
That's kind of why I was doing it.
What's Johnny, up? Johnny's in the board, bitch. Ha-ha.
Shut up. It's Johnny, a.k.a. Johnny Savage. Welcome to the show. I appreciate you guys watching. And I've had a good time being here on the board, bitch, because it's fine. I enjoy it. It's fun. But appreciate you guys watching and checking out the show. We got a special guest like this.
Perfect. Yeah, I'll introduce our guest.
There you go.
So come on, man. You're already blowing it. So yes, we have a fantastic guest today, lead singer of Hollywood Nightmare, Kyle Davies. Introduce yourself.
What's up, guys?
It's Davies, not Davies, Davies, Davies.
It's Davies. Oh, you actually nailed that. Cool. A lot of people will say Davis, but it is okay. Davies.
Nice, nice.
Yeah, it's very close to David. I'm actually very surprised that you got that. But yeah, I'm Kyle Davies. I'm the singer for Hollywood Nightmare. And I'm super stoked to be here, man.
Oh, yeah. Opening with some awesome trivia and stories already. We already have some stories to crack into, man.
Right. We've already talked about a whole bunch, like, murdered drinks.
Murder. different kind of, all the different kinds of people that you associate with in Colorado. And, your close friend.
I mean, he was around, but I didn't know him.
You said something about going grocery shopping together, or what was it?
Yeah, he was a trail mix guy. He was sweet.
The jerky's so damn expensive.
Sometimes it just makes me want to. Kyle's right there. Calm down.
But it's okay. Yeah,
calm down. It's all right.
It's okay, man. It's okay.
He's like, you ever thought about murdering your wife? Huh?
Nothing beats a Jet 2 holiday, bro. Like, you really just need to take one of those.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. But yeah, tell us a little bit of your story, man. Tell us how you became, a singer, some stuff about your history.
Oh, man. Well, it started, I accidentally became a singer. To be honest with you, I was always a guitarist when I started at 14 years old. And then I was like doing a lot of stuff in the local Colorado scene. And then one band asked, well, they actually just assumed, they were like, hey, you do vocals. Could you front our band? And I was like, I've never done vocals like in my life. I don't know what the hell to do with this. But for some reason I said yes. And I joined this band, did a couple of shows as a vocalist, got kicked out of the band. I was so bad. We were working with a producer named Dusty Bowles, and he used to play in bands like Bad Wolves, Make Me Famous. Okay. Like, he was signed to Sumerian, and he ended up being like, your singer's ass, and you got to kick him out. And I think that like did so much damage when I first left. I was like, fuck, man, like, am I really that bad?
Huge ego blow.
Yeah, it was. But, I feel like to be in the music industry, you have to be tough. And it took a lot of times of that, of being a bad vocalist to become a good vocalist. Mm-hmm. Because you have to be, like, honest with yourself. But anyways, after that, I like had this weird determination to just like prove them wrong that like I can do this. And so I started a band called In Death and Decay when I was 16 and still in high school. And when I was in high school, I was able to sell like so many tickets because you're just surrounded by, you know,
people all the time.
Kids. Yeah. Like it's easy. Yeah. And we actually, you know, did a lot of headlining shows at like the Roxy, the Gothic, the Summit. Like we ended up doing really good shows. And I was telling these people like, we should really take this out to California. And they, I don't know why they didn't want to, probably because we were still like teenagers, you know, like after we graduate, we should go out and do that. And anyways, long story short, that fell through. I ended up moving to Los Angeles after I graduated. And from there, I met Scott, our guitarist, at music college, at a college called Musicians Institute off of Hollywood.
Yeah.
And me and him were just hanging out every day, writing stuff. We accidentally basically became friends because we always had like the same classes together. Whenever I would take lunch, he just so happened to be taking lunch too. And we're like, what the fuck, man? Like, why are you stalking me?
That's cute.
Yeah. Anyways,
it was a musical meet cute.
Yep. And it was a musical meet cute. Yeah, exactly. So we were just writing. This was Hollywood Nightmare wasn't official. And I ended up getting kicked out of college. So I had to move back to Colorado.
Party too hard?
Yeah, there's a lot of that. I don't know. What is this? What is the rating? Like, can we say
we swear,
shit?
You know, I think we try to avoid it in the first couple minutes, right? Like swearing and stuff?
We try to not say so much bad words in the first like 10 minutes, but
all right. Well, I'll just say that we did already. Everything that a young musician thinks a rock star is. And that even continued when Hollywood Nightmare. Anyways, I moved back out to Colorado and I try to get like a normal job knocking doors for Renewal by Anderson, which is a horrible job. And then Scott and our other buddies had created Hollywood Nightmare. It already had a vocalist. Scott was playing guitar. We had a drummer, Luke, and they needed a bassist / clean singer. And so he hit me up and he was like, would you be interested in moving back out? And I was like, yep. So I moved back out. And that's how Hollywood Nightmare started, was me being...
You were like a second, you were the bassist singer. And... Okay.
Yep.
So a lot of the material that was written back then, you're just providing the clean vocal and you're kind of like doing the backup. It's already written for you before then?
When I first showed back up to Hollywood to be in the band, they had one more song to write and record off of our first record, Scary as Fuck. And they let me write it, which was... our song Controlled. Mm-hmm. And so I actually didn't write all of it. Like Scott wrote the guitar, did the drums and basses. They let me have vocal
stuff,
privilege over it. So I wrote all the lyrics, the lines, melodies. And so that was my first intro into the band. And it was the clean singing. And then Marcus was doing screaming. And then shortly after that was released, Marcus left and I became full-time vocalist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What was it? Would you mind divulging why he ended up leaving or?
That guy just didn't have the heart in it anymore. Like he was one of those type of dudes that like, I don't think he fully committed to much of anything he was trying to do. I love the guy. He was like one of my best friends, but like he would want to join the military. So he'd work out and then he'd stop working out and be like, fuck the military. Then he wanted to be in the band and he started the band.
No follow
through. Kind of like an identity crisis type of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so he did what he did for the record. And a lot of the time it was pulling teeth trying to get him there.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We were excited. You know, we were young kids in Hollywood. Just
You have that opportunity, especially, you know, you're working under the gun with, you know, studio time, stuff like that. It could be incredibly frustrating having the one member who's like, not like, in it, you're like, we're all here. We're all ready to do it. You know, we've had, you know, situations where guitarists have had to, you know, okay, I'll just track the bass because our bassist doesn't show up or something like that. And it's like, man, it's frustrating because you think that like all of us are like, all right, we're putting money up. We're putting up our time. We're really, you know, we're traveling far to make this or that happen. And, you know, it gets very frustrating, man. That's the one thing. And a lot of the times in my experience, something that I've experienced a lot is a lot of the time it could be like one of the most talented members of the band. Like you're like, man, he really has got something. Like I've had drummers that are just so good. And I'm like, nah, I'm going to leave him and become a cop. And it's like, fuck, man. You were like the best of, you would made our band good.
That's kind of like part of being in a band. Like you get to go through so many experiences. And one of them is like, you know, getting someone that is super good. So Marcus was okay. Like he was still young. He never gave him time to like grow and be like the vocalist he could have been. But anyways, like he's doing his own thing. I still love the guy. Like me and him are still good. But we've had another member that was, he was a guitarist. He did so well. He had the looks, he had the skill, everything. The only problem was his attitude. He got us in so much trouble because he thought he was the biggest shit, and it got us, it drug us down to a level where people started saying looking Hollywood at you different, Nightmare was like, you know, just egotistical assholes, essentially. Because he would come in knowing that he looked good, knowing that he played good, and he thought he was better than everybody else. And when one member does something, it almost reflects on everybody. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the time we were getting like not the shows we wanted to, or being turned down for things because they're like, I hear your trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And me and like the rest of the guys are like, where the hell did you hear that? Yeah. Like, no, we're fine. We're down to like play. Like, what's going on? And it's like just what you said. You get... when you try to make a band, you get a mixture of people, and some fit, some don't, some have the talent and just like something else is off, and some like don't have the talent, but they do have the attitude.
Yeah. And they'll stick it out and they'll, you know, go and they'll do all the grinding and the carrying the heavy weight, which is one of the things that I love about being a not very talented instrumentalist. You know what I mean? I'm not like a shredder guitar or whatever, but I could play a bass, I could play rhythm guitar. So it's like, if I have to adapt, you know, to a situation, like I know how to, you know what I mean? You know, if, you know, I've had to play bass and sing for my band and stuff before, if, you know, we didn't have our bassist that night or whatever. And it's like, to me, it's like, that's something that's like, it's kind of, it shows you how you deal with adversity in those situations. And you kind of want, at the end of the day, especially if you're doing it for like a couple of years, to have rounded out a couple of members that have that sort of heart in it. You know what I mean? Right. And you see where their priorities are. It's like, we want to play, you know what I mean? And then there's the people, like you said, that, all right, yeah, playing is fun and everything, but where's my rock star life? You know, where's that at? You know, so, you know, it gets very muddled up with all those personalities, you know?
It's all about being a rock star.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Party like a rock star and kick a little ass, you know?
Louis C.K. said, you know, everyone wanted to be famous.
Yeah. Yeah. Every single musician you ever see in like the orchestra or the band, they wanted to be their own leader of what they do, and then they end up having to take like this like side role of like he put it so much funnier.
It was on
Conan or something.
He's like, see, like that guy right there,
like he didn't want to
do this.
Yeah. he wanted to have his own orchestra.
He wanted to have his own band. He wanted to be famous.
It's like, guess what, you know, we panned to him on the camera, none of you guys know his name or give a shit who he is.
I feel like that's one of the biggest problems is if you're in it to be famous, that's already starting off on the wrong foot.
And some people would argue it's like, that's like the it factor. It's like, oh, this guy, he knows he's a star. You know what I mean? It's a really weird, weird approach in my opinion.
It is a very weird approach. But if you think about it, like a lot of these people that really made it and are successful, their first thing was always the music. You know, they were just to the core like a musician, and they just, you know, they got it. They understood it. They knew how to make melodies and they enjoyed doing it. And through that, they became successful and now they're famous.
Yeah.
But a lot of people, like when I was going to Musicians Institute, the main reason why a lot of them were there was just to become famous.
Yeah.
And then you would like hear their playing, hear their singing, and you're like, oh, dude, not you.
Yeah.
Like, not, it's so bad.
There's a different avenue for you.
For real.
You ever tried hawking skincare products on Instagram? Maybe try that.
This one story was so, like, to me was super funny. This girl came in with her mom and they were doing like a tour of the college, you know, letting them know these are your classes. Here's like the rooms, blah, 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 blah. And the mom asked, well, how long does she have to be here until she's famous? And the person looked at them like,
that's gross.
Yeah, what a weird question.
That's so gross.
Well, she came back pretty well. She went, as you know, that's completely up to her, you know, however long it might take her. But this person literally thought, oh, if I want to be famous, like it's just a job title, like I could just go here and do it.
Yeah. Hey, and we're in a famous school.
Oh my God. And I actually had a couple of classes with her and she couldn't carry a tune to save a life.
Shyamalan like, twist to that story, the girl who came in, Honey Boo Boo. It was actually Mama June.
I guess it worked out for her.
She's famous.
I guess it worked out for her, right?
She did something right.
It was so fucked up when South Park got a hold of that girl. Oh my God.
Skitty and butter.
Have you guys seen the new season of South Park?
It's raunchy.
Oh,
my
God. I have not seen it.
It's raunchy. I'm not caught up.
You got to do yourself a favor.
I have a South Park tattoo on my side. It's like, I love that show. So I have just not had the time to watch TV like the way I used to, you know?
Oh, man. You know what's funny is being from Colorado,
that's got to be a special.
Well, people think you should go to South Park. It's literally just a small mountain town. You're not going to see anything crazy if you go there.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because Scott, my guitarist, he wanted to go on one of his honeymoons to South Park because he loves the show. And I was like, why?
He's like, it's just a Chili's and then a couple little shops.
Yeah. You're not going to see anything too crazy, but you could go there if you want. I was like, we've been to some of the coolest parts of Colorado just going on tour.
So have you gone to Casa Bonita?
I have. My grandma actually is a... She has stock in that, and she helped rebuild it.
What? Very cool.
Yep. It was a horrible place. It was fun to go to. Like, as a kid, it was almost like the same energy as, going to Chuck E. Cheese. If you found out you were going there, you weren't going there for food. You were going there because it was fun.
It looks like the Spanish version of, Rainforest Cafe.
Yeah, but I've always said that their food, you know the, play kitchen sets you give children?
It was like they took that
and microwaved it and they would give it to you. No one went for the food. It was dog water. And now apparently because Matt and Trey bought it, they redid it. It should be good. I don't know. I haven't been since I was eight.
Yeah.
So I would like to go back, but I don't know. I can't tell you what it's like right now.
Yeah. No, I would love to go back and then, I'm ordering my food and be like, can I have the taco?
Who is that? Is that Jennifer?
Jennifer Lopez.
Oh my God, that one.
I'm a big South Park fan. I love that shit. But that's one of my ridiculous. I do got to go there now, especially once I saw them, revamping and stuff. First off, when I saw the Casa Bonita episode, I didn't know it was a real thing. I thought it was just a made up thing. And found out down the line, I was like, wait, it's a fucking real place. And then I hear all this stuff about how it's dilapidated and fucked up. And then I hear all this stuff about them restoring it. And I'm like, yeah, I think this is one of my dumb destinations that I'm going to have to go on a road trip to just to visit it.
If you're a big South Park fan, everything they talk about or a lot of the even back shots of where they travel to are real places.
Yeah.
So
even Shitty Walk.
Yeah. Shitty Walk.
Welcome to Shitty Walk.
I've never been too big of a South Park fan, but I've enjoyed it when it's on. And then I'll be like, oh my God, they're making fun of Boulder right now. Yeah. That's CU or oh, that's Fort Collins. So I get joy off of that, watching the show. And not because it's a bad show or anything. Never really watched.
You're more of a Family Guy dude or what?
No, I'm a Naruto guy.
Oh, okay, so you're anime.
You're a nerd.
Big into anime.
Well, I'm not a big anime guy. I'm Naruto is just my shit.
Was that entry level, you started watching that and you were obsessed? Or did you have other animes that kind of you watched before?
I watched the first, so the way that came about was, it was back in 2001. Or 2002.
Days when it was
Well, my TV was one of the ones where you have to push the channel, but it was a thick boy
box.
And so I remember I always watched Cartoon Network and I was there when they streamed the first episode of Naruto. And I was like, oh wow, this is really good. And I didn't know what anime necessarily was. I mean, it's just animation, but Japanese animation, didn't really know. And so I kept tuning in and eventually I just became a big fan. And to this day, I'm almost 28 and I still still make sure it's doing good.
Now, are you a sub guy? You like subs or dubs?
I like both. It depends. If I'm actually watching, I'll put on the Japanese version. But if I'm background noise,
I'm a big background noise TV guy.
Me too. 100%.
I liked Naruto though, man. Like I liked pretty it a tight. Lot, but then there was a lot of like filler episodes.
Yeah. I can't just like, of course there is, because you gotta let the manga go further than the animation. So a lot of filler episodes are just so the manga could go further. This is my nerd time. Coming out if you can't tell.
I love that shit.
Nerd alert.
Yep.
Beans, bro. Like, really? We'll have like,
wow, that is so adorable.
Right? That's it. Well, dude, I'm just here by myself. I'm like,
it's fun because it's like I really do enjoy Naruto, but then when I tell like an actual anime fan, like I watch Naruto, I can't match the energy because they'll be like, "Oh, are you watching this, that, and the other?" And you're like, "Ah, oh, fuck!" Like,
oh shit,
I'm not like that deep. Like, I don't know, Kyle from Havoc Faction,
yeah.
That fucker, I hate that guy.
Yeah, we had him on not too long ago.
He's the worst guy
ever.
I hate
his first name, too. It's crazy.
Me, too. I hear that whenever he sees, like, a missing child poster, he laughs. That's the type of character he is. I'm just kidding. He's a good friend. That's actually how we all met.
Yeah.
From his show.
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. At the House of Blues.
Yeah, I would have been there, but I was a total idiot that day. So,
same. Yeah. I was playing a show.
He was too busy watching anime, like a dork.
But yeah, no. I mean, like, I personally only have like a handful of animes that I'm obsessed with, and there's people that like once a new thing comes out, like, oh, I want to try this, I want to check this out. I don't have the time like that, and like a lot of the times, like. I just kind of want to watch my favorite animes over again. Like, you know, I love Samurai Champloo. I'm huge on that. Like, that's one of my favorites of all time. Just because the style and like
Short one.
Samurai Champloo.
It's like
Champloo.
Weird made up word. I don't know why they titled it that.
For 2 seconds, I thought you were going to say Samurai Jack.
I have Samurai Jack too. I have all of that.
Yeah, it's like a Samurai Boondocksy type of vibe.
Yeah, almost like it's like infused with like this like 90s hip hop kind of sound. Soundtrack and all this kind of weird modernization of stuff, but it's done in feudal Japan with these like samurais and all of that.
It kind of feels like Cowboy Bebop a little bit.
Yeah,
I've heard of Cowboy Bebop.
It's right in that same vein, but like I love the style of it, and so to me, like that just connected with me. Mm-hmm. So I watched that. I grew up on like Dragon Ball Z. You know, that kind of stuff, you know?
Yep, that's the OG. That's Scott's favorite one. So me and him are always beefing on which one's better.
Do you guys have long discussions of like who would win in an actual battle kind of stuff? Or?
No, I'm more witty than him, so it's pretty quick because everyone knows that Naruto's
not long
better.
Discussions.
Yeah. Both me and him, we keep up with Dragon Ball Z, Naruto, and all the hentai in between. So
yes.
You have to.
Now I'm listening.
Yeah, he's like, hey, I thought he was falling asleep over there. He's just like,
Oni-chan.
Hold on, don't do that. You're going to give me a chub.
This guy's half masked right now.
He's already fucking fluffing up half. Over there.
He's on the computer, but he's got half. A lot of hard drive going on, if you know what I mean.
You know what I'm saying?
How are you using the mouse and two keyboards at the same time, Johnny? I'm curious.
Yeah, goddamn, dude. We're all professionals here.
All right, well, you want to jump into a Hollywood nightmare pain here?
Hold on. Before we do that, it's a Naruto song.
Really?
Pain is the character in Naruto.
Okay, give us a little bit of the backstory.
If you look at the music video, it's when Pain, I wrote it about Pain destroying the Hidden Leaf Village.
Oh, wow.
That's awesome.
Holy shit.
So we have a little context, a little BTS of the song.
I like how that accidentally happened just now.
I see this, the symbol and everything. It's like kind of like implemented. That's cool, man.
Yeah, dude.
I can dig it. Can you dig it? Nice, check it out.
I remember when I was writing, I was like, would it be corny to write an anime song? And they were like, fuck it.
Hell no, man.
Yeah. So that's
how
this
music, some of the coolest music is in anime intros.
That's true.
You know, there's great anime music.
Why am I not getting no sound here?
Uh-oh, we're not getting anything.
Are you muted?
So just so you know, his words are, this world shall know pain.
Like, I see it now. Here we go. What a segue.
I like it.
This world shall know my
I don't mind that.
Oh, I love that.
Yep. I'll say this real quick. I was listening to all your music the past like couple days. This song is fucking sick.
You like this song?
This song is sick. I remember this now because of that. The bells, mm-hmm. Fucking sick.
I miss that leather jacket.
What happened? It got destroyed or something?
It's Luke's. He took it back.
You got to use it for the music video. That's it.
Yeah.
That's so fucked. That's a loner.
I actually used it for the Pain tour. So we released this song and then went and
did a little run.
Yeah, we did a run and that he let me use that jacket the entire tour. I want it back, Luke. Give it back.
Pretty sick jacket.
That's pretty sweet.
We're sending out the message now. All the fans, comment, demand that he gets the leather back, the leather jacket back.
Real.
Where'd you guys film this at?
Downtown Los Angeles.
Of course. They have so many filming locations out there. Yep. They're everywhere. Like if you go to like some, if you see some like random ass warehouse, I'm like, that's probably a film.
You could do something there.
Oh yeah.
Did you, who'd you film it with?
I don't remember.
Got it. We'll try to credit it later.
This is dope.
Yeah,
and it's pretty like simple because it's like you took it took pieces from the anime, but also like just the doorway with the red lights. It looks clean.
I was gonna ask about that too. Like no like copyright infringement stuff or anything like that from like using the clips or
not yet.
Yeah, nah.
Not yet, my man.
I've been waiting for that email.
Hell yeah. That's how we do it around here.
Anarchy. But
that's awesome, man. That's awesome.
Anarchy. You know what I'm talking about? I don't know what it means, but I love it.
No, but I mean, yeah. I mean, if the messaging is related to that, yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, it's super.
It makes sense to me. I mean, it looks fucking good, dude.
It does look really awesome, good.
Man. Thank you, man. Yeah, so, we were super happy about this one. It was one of the easiest music videos for us to film too, because it was just one location, and I think I sent you guys the rain. That one took like four different locations.
Oh, wow. Ooh.
And it was 12 hours of filming. I think this one, we got it done in like six hours.
That's not bad.
That's pretty good.
And this one, yeah, no, it wasn't all that bad.
Yeah, how it
at
turned
all.
Out. I mean, it seems like, you know, nice and like mm-hmm. streamlined.
Pretty good.
Well, let's check out the other one too. Let's check out this a little bit more though.
Who does all you guys' like electronics and production and stuff?
We do.
You just like, so, kind of all of a combination of all your guys'.
We try to DIY as much as you can. So actually, now that you mention it, when we were recording this, Luke did most of the filming. And then we had one other guy come in with like a better camera and get like better shots. But we've done a lot of just DIY. So mm-hmm. whenever we record these songs, I go to Luke's house and Scott's there and we do the vocals in his garage and we just do it all at his place. Honestly,
so like
as much
glitchy
as
electronic-y stuff that you guys are writing, you're just doing it in the box kind of just as you go?
Yep, exactly.
That's what's up.
That's what's up.
Get a keyboard out and just find a
cool tone you like. Yeah.
Yeah, just
Now I understand. So this music, I mean, it calls for the Titanus Live. So you guys use like backtracks and stuff with like the click track and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So most of our show has like our backing tracks, you know, for like segues in between songs and just for like, you know, orchestra or like keyboard or mm-hmm. something like that. But there is one song we do play no backing track, just raw rock band. Nice. It's Thorns.
Okay.
And that one is a.
Do you guys like kind of like are playing it like a little quicker today, a little slower, or like, you know what I mean? Do you guys fuck with it, or you guys are pretty?
We do. Yeah. We do. Yeah. It's all depending on how Luke's feeling that day. Yeah. Sometimes he's amped up and it's just like a lot faster, or sometimes it's just at normal pace. But yeah, he's a drummer. I think you have to go off of what he's doing that day.
That's so awesome. Cause I mean, that's always how I've looked at it too. Like when I was like writing Dead Widow stuff, when I was writing the EP and stuff, like where I was like, all right, well, we're going to need backtracks for the whole set. And that's never even really fully clicked with me, where it's like, well, you could have one song where you don't really use the production, and then you can have a little fun with it.
For real.
You know?
Well, the reason that happened is because we had played like a couple of shows where they were not like, they couldn't accommodate the computer.
Mm.
And we're like, well, you know, this is like part of our show, right?
Yeah,
like, if you want Hollywood Nightmare to play, we need our backing tracks. And we don't rely on it for everything, but it is a big part of our show. And so we were all like, you know what? What if, like, I think it was in Yucca Valley or somewhere where BG lives, you know?
BG from local band Smoke Out?
Yeah. He had us on a show there, and this guy could not get us, like, our computer. And we're like, well, what if we just, like, played a song, no backing track? Like, what could we do? And so then we came together after that show and was like, all right, let's get a couple of songs where we just... Worst case scenario, we could play something.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how that came
about. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the adaptability right there.
Yep.
You know, especially in these days, you want to stay competitive. You want to have that production. You know, sometimes you want lights. You want all this kind of stuff to it. And then sometimes you show up and then you're playing in a dirt field with, you know, like a makeshift PA that people have like just put on, you know, just like, hey, we invited you out or whatever, stuff like that.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, that adaptability. It's like, all right, well. We could still put on a good show.
It mostly came from the stress of standing on stage and people just yelling, play something, play something. And you're like, okay. And we've done this a couple of times where we just improvise a song.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
We'll be like, all right, we'll just fucking like rip something.
Because I've had to do this before too. Do you have like go-to lyrics that you say? Like for like screams and then like a chorusy like singy thing that you're like, oh yeah, I'll just like sing these words and then I'll make up the melody as I go?
Not really, no.
You're just kind of just
I think I just like I make up imaginary words like yeah. Oh yeah,
yeah. Just so like, you scat, you scat.
Yeah, I basically scat through the whole thing. And it's like
yeah, that's the best. That's the best way.
But sometimes I will catch myself with a clever line and like spit it out and be like, that was pretty cool.
Write that one down. Yeah, guys.
That's like Marvin Gaye's technique. Yeah. He used to do like the scatting.
Yeah,
the
you just follow the melody.
You know who else? Like Linkin Park says they write their songs for Donna because they're always like, Donna, na, 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 Donna, na, 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 na. And so like, that's how I always go about like writing songs. And if we do have to improvise something, yeah, I'll just like Donna it out.
That's actually a perfect little question segue because I wanted to get to that too. Explain a little bit of your writing process. Like when you do write a song, when you do the vocals and you start, you know, what do you start with? Do you start with lyrics? Do you start with melodies? Do you start with screams?
So the way we write our songs is Scott and Luke, they'll usually be the ones that write the whole instrumental, you know? So by the time I'm sent the song, it's basically done and anything like I want to, you know, not edit, but like tweak, they'll like go through and make something longer, make something shorter, you know, make a drum feel this way. Anyways, what I'm trying to say is they do the
instrumentation, yeah.
I do very little of that. And so I will go melody first. I always will like grab a guitar and be like, all right, where's the rhythm? Where's the melody? You know, what sounds good? And then I always, for this one, like, da, da, ba, da, 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 da. And then I just put words to that.
Yeah.
And especially... Well, that it's easier with screams because it's just like almost a percussion hit.
Mm-hmm.
All you got to do is just yell. But when it comes to like the mine goes a simple, just plain old revenge, that'll be just me on a guitar. There's
so you'll write vocal melodies from guitar.
Yeah, I used to do it off of a piano, but I do not have a piano anymore since I moved out here.
Okay.
So yeah, it's all guitar.
That's very cool. Honestly, I think he's the first person we've had when we asked that question, they've said
it makes sense though. I mean, did you, was that the guitar was your first instrument?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So that makes sense. I mean, your hook writing skills kind of were the foundation kind of comes from the guitar writing and stuff. So you know how to counter melodies and stuff to kind of like fit.
Exactly. Yeah. And it just helps so much when you have to like write harmonies as well. So I'll like build a chorus off of a bunch of chords. So
your harmonies, you do use fifths the most?
I don't know music theory that much. Oh. Whatever sounds good.
I'm a nerd, sorry.
Yeah, no, if you gave me an instrument, I could make something sound pretty, but I couldn't tell you what I'm doing.
Right.
So that's kind of how I go.
That's honestly, that's kind of my philosophy. Is like, you gotta be just enough shitty at what you do to make good music. You
know what I mean? Guess so.
Because like, you have to have a level of curiosity that's still there, that like, you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
To find stuff that is not part of the whole, like,
a little bit of that hunger to figure it out.
You end up finding it from your lack of knowledge on certain perfections on stuff.
Everything with music for me has always been like, don't think about it too much. Just let it come from you. Like I said earlier today is like, I never started this to become famous. I did it because I was always just a musician. Like, I was able to, you know, hear melodies. And so whenever I play guitar or like piano or sing something, like I don't think about it. I just kind of like, whatever comes out. And that's what makes me happy. Like, I'm not really too excited if like I could sing someone else's song really well or something like that. Like, I get more joy out of just doing random shit and surprising myself. So the best times I have like singing or playing guitar is, you know, just in my house, like something will be on the TV and I'm just jamming something and I'll
get hit with something.
Oh shit, that's pretty good, you know?
Yep.
And so a lot of the times when I'm writing a song or, you know, trying to figure out a melody, I let myself write garbage first, you know, like what sounds bad, you know, just go let yourself make
mistakes.
Get it
out of the way. Yeah.
And eventually just from dicking around, you'll find something that's good. And you're like, a little bit of that, you know, keep going, a little bit of that. And then next thing you know, now the wheels are turning and you're like, okay, now I got something.
Yeah.
And that, I don't know if it'll work for everyone because I've had to rewrite so many songs. Holy shit. Like, there's been times Scott has sent
you bring them the idea and they're like, dude, we're not vibing.
I brought it into the studio and they're like, and you think it's a good idea at the time, but once you hear it in like playback and you're like, all right, that's another thing. Be honest with yourself. Don't release something that you know is just going to be bad.
Yeah.
Just to have content. And so there's been many times us as a band have came together and been like, this isn't it. You know, I know we've put a lot of work into this, but this, like, why would we put this out when if we don't give a shit, who else is going to give a shit?
Yeah.
You know, and so I feel like a lot of the songs that we have put out, we did put in a lot of effort and we do like, and there's a couple of songs, you know, just from our band that I'll listen to every now and then just because it's like that one that I was like, holy shit. Like, I was very proud of.
So you guys are becoming more and more like, okay with like B-siding tracks.
Oh yeah. Oh God, dude. I think as of right now we have like, we have an archive.
That's what it takes, though. A lot of the time, man, you hear really good, true professional writers and stuff talk about how, like, oh, yeah, this 10-track record, we actually wrote 40 songs for it. You know what I mean? Right. And, like, these are the 10. And, like, if you ask me, a lot of the time that, you know, bands and really good writers that are collaborating, I'll use Blink-182 as an example, each one of them has their own songwriting talents. And so when they bring a record together, it's got to be very difficult to put all of that into one box and then package it, you know. So when you have, you know, all these ideas flying and you do finally get something that resembles that package, you're like, hey, I think this is us. I think this is our Hollywood nightmare sound. Right. And all of you guys look at each other and agree and you're like, that's like the final like thumbs up to like really know, like, it's, no, we did something good.
It's super nice when everyone comes together because we're all different musicians. Mm-hmm. Like if you ask Scott what he listens to, Luke what he listens to, what I listen to, it's all different. And so trying to find that common ground can often be very difficult.
You brought that song before the podcast. I had never heard it. Barbie Girl. I liked it. I liked it a lot. Barbie Girl. I thought it was really good.
Well, I wish it was just Ken Boy because I'm more of a Ken fan.
Okay.
But yeah, no, I mean, I think that's really cool. And so how long, because you said you started with Scott, bounced out, bounced back in. How long ago was that?
That was, I think, when I first finally came back and joined 2018. Mm. And another thing before we go on is to be a good band, you also have to take negative, you know, feedback.
Oh, you have to have the thick skin,
so,
man.
So a lot of people, like, well, their bands will break up because you said this was a bad idea. And there's been so many beefs between, like, you know, us, because we're actually like brothers. We've known each other since we were teenagers. We're almost 30 now. Anyways, there's been a lot of times where we'll disagree with each other and almost like you get into fights about it.
Right.
And just at the end of the day, whatever, sometimes you got to let shit slide and sometimes everyone agrees with it. Yeah. And if you could be in a band that everyone knows that it's not going to be rainbows,
right?
You know, like there's a lot of trouble that goes into making an album, like making Inferno. It took us, I think, like almost 2 years and it wasn't easy. It was like, it wasn't just like, here's a song, here's a song, here's a song. It was, I don't like this, I don't like that. Well, I like that. Well, you know,
that's the musician's curse for me. It's like you, the instant gratification you have as a musician, that you write stuff and you're like, man, this is going to be it. And the thing about it is you have to like, if you're, especially with, when you're working with a lot of other people, you have to realize like, oh, there's like product testing involved.
Yep.
And if you're not all okay with that, with stuff failing, to find that, whatever that sound is, like you're kind of doing from the start. I mean, you have to kind of like, you have to have that like cohesion with everybody.
But it also all goes back to when I said I started that band in Colorado and the guy said your vocals are ass. It was true.
Yeah.
It was super true. And you need still things true. Like that.
This fucking guy.
Hey, I'm still trying. But it's like now.
I actually really enjoy your vocals. Reminds me of a couple bands and we'll talk about that later.
Thanks, buddy. No, but it's like now I know with these people, if they say something's bad, it's not from a place of being a dick.
Yeah,
it's just, I know you could do better. This is not good. Like, let's just rethink
that's
this.
The whole part about artistic criticism is most of the time, unless it's there, because I'm not saying all of the time, but most of the time, it's not malicious.
Yep.
Especially if you're part of that creative process, most of the time, you're all locked on the same goal. We want this to be as good as it possibly can be.
Right.
And that's a different definition for everybody. So getting that as close to the middle, you know what I mean, for everybody to like, oh, yeah, this person agrees even though they have these influences. This person agrees, even though they have these influences, then we created something sort of truly unique that stands out and that we all agree, you know, is worthwhile, you know, worth to put out, you know?
Yeah.
And to me, I think that gets lost in the sauce these days. We talked about this with two of our other guests recently about, you know, that's a very special gift sometimes that you have, when you have a bunch of dudes who do have that like vigor to fight through the fights and you know, deal with it and take the lumps. Whoa,
it's a relationship. It's 100% a relationship.
What word? Lumps? Lovely lady lumps?
My lovely lady lumps.
But yeah, no, I mean, I think that's an incredibly cool thing. And especially if, like you said, you guys have been at it for years and it's cool that you guys are still able to kind of still keep on at that process. Like, I'm sure each one of you has come to the table with like X amount of ideas, like a good, you know, several dozen ideas, whether it's, you know, a chorus idea or this or whatever. You said you bring vocals to the table and they're like, I'm not sure if that's the beat we were going for or whatever, you know?
Right.
But, you know, that's the thing, is like, there's always another song to be written. And I think, like you said, the people that, you know, have that thing to prove, you're like, yeah, no, I need to, if someone's telling me it's not good, then I need to make it better.
You need to be honest with yourself. Yeah. That's my biggest thing, is be honest with yourself. Is it good? Is it bad? Because if you join this and you think everyone's going to think you're the shit, you are so wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Like everyone in their head, or maybe not everyone, but I feel like a lot of musicians that I've meet, they'll tell you that they're the biggest thing. They're so good. You know, you're not going to find anyone better. When the truth is, even if you're really good, there's someone better than you.
Like, I said that like twice.
Humble yourself. Yeah, you really got to be humbled, because I mean, I don't mean to brag, but I feel like I'm a pretty good singer. But there's so many other, just because I could sing good, that's the job description. Doesn't mean
you're anything special.
You meet the
standards and the prerequisites. Now, what are you going to do that's going to make you stand
out?
What's
different?
Yeah. What's going to make you stand out? What's going to make you stand above? What's going to, you know, show the world that you have something a little bit special or worth listening to? And that's the next part of the job.
And the answer is my OnlyFans. Everybody subscribes.
So that is OnlyFans slash. Now, I would love a really funny name. Yeah.
Now, what is there? I was kind of curious because you seem kind of meticulous with like the way you do things. You like, you know, at this point. You like the way your work process is right now. Is there a piece of gear that really upped your workflow?
Nerd.
You know what I mean? To where you feel like, oh, I can like make some things happen with this. You know what I mean?
Not for me. That would definitely be more of a Scott and Luke question because they are the like gear nerd type people. And I wish I could say it was in-ear monitors, but I fucking hate in-ear monitors.
Okay. So you kind of have to tolerate them, huh?
Yeah.
You just like, if that's the setup, then it's like, all right, fine.
Every time.
I'll put in one. You leave in the one so that you're still monitoring or whatever, but I like hearing the room. You know what I mean? I feel like I get a better energy from that.
Yeah. I like being live. But gear-wise, I've always been very bare bones. Like, I still have the same amp that I had back in high school and the same guitars and, you know, the same keyboard. Like, I've never been that musician that goes out and tries to get new things. I'm not shitting on anyone that does. It's just like, I don't, like, that's, I already have the guitar, I already have the amp. Like, I just try to better my playing.
Something I took away from Bill Murray, Johnny Frank. I don't know if you're familiar with the band Bill Murray, anybody?
Yeah.
Anyways, but something I took away from him years ago that I was like, damn, that's actually wise beyond his years. But, you know, he said when he was starting up that project, he was watching Attack and Beartooth, like, you know, thrive and stuff. And he was in his little basement with his shitty little Strat and his shitty little setup. And one of the things that clicked for him was, if I can make music sound good on this shitty little setup, imagine what I could do when I get it going on a better setup. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And to me, like, that's such a cool approach to writing and creating a new, you know, genre or form of music is like saying, like, you know what? Fuck my limitations. I don't worry about my limitations. I'm going to just do whatever I do. And I'm still determined for it to sound good.
I mean, that's important though.
It is. And that actually, now that you think about that, like, I've never thought of it that way, but the original guitarist, Jackie Vincent, who we played with, he actually never had a guitar amp starting out. And when he finally got one, I think it was Four Falling in Reverse, and it just ended up being amazing. But the thing is, for me as like a vocalist, I don't really need much gear. Like, I could sing wherever I want to go. And then as a guitarist, like, I just play guitar for fun. So I don't really need to up that.
Okay.
So I already have it.
So when you write, are you more of a notepad guy? You like on your phone, the notes app?
Lyrics wise, yeah. I like doing it. I write it down on paper first.
Does that help you remember everything?
It makes it more personable and it makes it a lot easier to remember. Because if you're writing it, like, it sticks in your mind a lot easier than typing it. Also, I can write faster than I type.
Same.
So that's just kind of another bonus. But
Do you have your own chicken scratch dialect that you do? It's like basically,
yes.
Oh, I gotta get this.
Oh my God. Yes, dude. So a lot of the times, like, I'll think of things faster than I can write them down too.
You're talking to the right guy
here. And I will.
Anybody can understand some of this shit?
Anybody
try to understand some of this fucking chicken scratch that I write down on here? Fucking good luck.
The amount of words I misspell are just Guinness World Record. And so I'll like show up to the studio and I'll like show them and they'll be like, what the fuck are you saying? And I'm just like, because usually when I show up to record a song, I'll like have it written down. I'll show it to Luke and Scott and they'll read it. And then they'll like play the song instrumentally. And excuse me, I'll like do a little like, bah, bah,
a version
like,
of it. Yeah.
A little version of it and tell them, and they'll try to follow along. And then they'll be like, what the fuck are you saying here, dude? And yeah, it's embarrassing. And even my girlfriend, like, she'll see me writing sometimes, and she like grabbed it, and she's like, what is this? Like, what are you saying? And I'm like, God, don't worry about it.
This word either
as long as it makes sense to me.
This either says misunderstood or masturbating. I can't really tell. It's one, like, of the two.
Imagine,
like, I'm misunderstood when I masturbate.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wait. Yeah, okay. Now I can read. Because
it's always to hentai. No, just kidding.
All right. So the planet ends, right? There's no remnants of humanity left. There's a couple of, like, English texts,
yeah,
and stuff. People are like, well, there is this old ancient language. And then they find your notepad. They're like, this is new.
Yeah, this is some sort of a language from a culture we did not even know existed.
Like, I think he's just retarded.
You cut to the History Channel documentary. He's like, so we discovered this purple notebook, and we believe it's representative of something from the Egyptian times.
It would just be so funny. Yeah. It'd be funny if it was like Limp Bizkit lyrics, yeah, just like left over, and they're like, this is gospel for all sure. Sometimes you do want to just rip a fucker's head off.
Yeah, all we've been able to decipher so far is I did it for the nookie. We can't understand this last word. I did it for the, and we'd have nothing in the English dictionary for this last word.
Oh my. Speaking of that, have you seen that video of, like, if Fred Durst was British?
No.
And it was like, it's just one of those days when you don't want to wake up. Everything's fucked. Everyone's a cunt. You don't know why, but you want to justify
ripping someone's head off in it.
Right. Oh, man.
That shit's great, man.
I'd pay to see that.
Yeah. Honestly, if I think they would take the money. If you were to tell, Fred Durst, hey, perform this entire show with a British accent, you know, we'll give you an extra couple $1,000. I think they would do it.
I think he'd do it.
I'd fucking do it. I'd do it. It would be so easy and fun
to do a Dead Widow set with a British accent. That shit would be so fun. That would be so fun.
I did it all for the nookie, mate. The nookie, mate. So you could take that biscuit and stick it up your nose.
The crumpets.
Oh, shit.
That was funny.
What was the... Well, you had music too, Johnny, right? Didn't you?
Yeah. We were talking about the other song, Rain.
You want to do that one?
I don't know what it was.
Rain. That's the rain, one.
Yeah. What were we saying about it, though?
That is the one that took us 12 hours to film.
Oh, that's why.
Before we play, I have to give context to it. Okay. So a lot of people are saying, why is it spelled Rain like that? It's about my little sister, whose name is Madison Rain.
Okay. Mm.
And that's how we spell her name. She has alopecia, and I don't know if she wants me to... I'm going to say it anyways.
You can bleep or cut stuff if you need it.
Yeah, so the reason it got censored, which I'm so pissed off about because it could have gotten a lot of views, was because it deals with suicide. So my little sister one time tried to commit suicide, and she came to me in the middle of the night saying, I just took 20 pills of acetaminophen and I am going to overdose. And so I had to rush her to the hospital and watch her get her stomach pumped and stay with her for 24 hours thinking that she was going to die. And the reason why is because she was getting bullied all over the internet about having alopecia. And even in person, people would say, like, I don't know why she has that haircut. And it's like, it's not a haircut, you motherfucker. Like, she's losing hair. And so this song is written about when I found her. And I have her in the music video. She's actually the girl. She plays herself in this.
Oh.
And my mom and my sister came out to be a part of this video, and it was hard for her to get into character for this because it meant so much to her.
That's real, man. This that's some real shit. That's, yeah.
Yep. So, yeah, this is my song to my sister. While you listen to it, can I use the restroom?
Of course.
Yeah.
You guys think I would look that good bleaching my hair blonde?
You could try. I can't promise I won't clown on you, though.
I'll try it.
You can give it a shot.
Yeah, I won't look that cool. I just won't look that cool, basically.
I don't know. I think you pull Did you ever do, since you're an elder emo,
an
elder emo.
You don't remember?
Did you ever do like the little bleach splat? Little bleach?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I definitely did. That was like a post-high school thing where I did just like a little bangs, a part of my bangs.
Wait, why aren't you guys laughing? Elder emo is a great term, dude. I never heard that in my life.
You never
life.
Heard that?
No, yeah. Never.
That's like a huge thing right now.
Funny, dude.
No, I told, that's I amazing. Even told, I even told my little sister, you know, cause you know, DJ and Tori and all them, they're all like, you know, probably like 5 years younger than me.
Yeah.
And you know, they were you know, at Warped Tour, they were all like, you know, we're elder emos, and I'm like, okay, if you guys are elder emos, what does that make me? That's like, I'm like ancient emo, dude. Grandpa emo. Grandpa emo over here. But yeah, no, I definitely did the blonde streak on my bangs at one point.
Yeah, yeah.
And I made the mistake of showing up to senior year with the entire bleach blonde head.
Jesus.
Yeah.
My senior year, I don't know if you remember, I had cheetah hair.
No, you did not.
Yes, I remember. Yes, I remember this. Yes.
I did my hair cheetah pattern, dude.
Yeah, you're so gay, dude.
I had fucking, it was just a buzz cut and I just had like spots.
So did you know you were gay or did you just find out then?
Everyone helped him find out that day.
At the time, it just felt good. I got compliments on it. I didn't hear any negativity from it.
Oh, that's so funny.
I'm just kidding. I think it's actually pretty cool.
It's funny. We went to the same high school, me and him. And not the only reason we met. I don't know if we met through Christian or if we talked before that, but this guy was the guy at your school.
Yeah, Christian.
Was it through Christian? But this guy was the guy that brought the guitar and would be noodling.
My first day meeting you guys. You guys were sitting at the lunch table.
Yeah, he'd be noodling on his guitar. Wait, you could shut your mouth, Johnny.
Wait, hold up. What's the name? Mick was that guy?
Yes.
Yeah, I see it. Yep.
But no, the thing that was crazy.
Well, I was barely learning guitar, so I thought it was cool.
He was walking around with an acoustic playing Nirvana and shit.
Here was the part, though, is that Mike, early as you were, was very good at guitar. He was very good. He was a natural at guitar. Yeah. So he would go around and anybody who would like, oh, you have a fucking guitar, anybody who would talk shit, he would just actually play and they'd be like,
oh, okay.
That's pretty good. So he earned his cred through it. He really did.
Crazy. That's how it starts, man. Yeah. That's how it fucking starts.
It's so funny, though, because there's that kid at every school, even right now. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, the one that just says, walks around
say,
with his
I
guitar.
Was that kid, too, I guess.
Yeah, no, it's kid. There you go. Solidarity, man.
It was, like, such an ego thing. You see someone with a guitar, and you're like, I'm about to light you
up.
Yeah.
But that's the whole high school thing. It's like, you want to do something to where you kind of stand out a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's like, we're kids. So it's just like, you know, you wanted to have something towards like you, everyone can remember you from that high school experience.
Yeah, exactly. A little bit. Like back in high school, it was cool. But nowadays, I swear to God, the older I get, you could do the coolest thing on guitar and everyone's like, all right.
Yeah.
You're just like, all right. It's like,
a true gentleman is a man who knows how to play guitar, but doesn't.
Yeah, just fucking sit there and be like, no, I do not know Wonderwall.
It's because they got bands like
I do not know Wonderwall.
Hey, Johnny, remember with Abracadabra, we used to go practice, and then his neighbors would come over like, play Metallica. Like, we have like this Bank of Metallica song. Yeah.
Nice.
You guys know For Whom the Bell Tolls?
Let me hear that shit. Yeah,
it's like, I fucking love Megadeth, dude.
It was like that.
All right, let's crack back into this.
You trimmed your hair, huh?
No.
Huh?
He's all, are you, dumb?
When he's nervous, he shrinks in back into his head.
Yeah, I'm a reverse chia pet.
Yeah.
Water was so cold.
I'm looking at your guys' crotches and I could confirm.
Oh, hell yeah. Wait,
nice.
So
very nice.
your guys' guitars are just getting all wet and stuff. Is it like, you don't plug them in or nothing, right? I never seen a video or never knew the behind the scenes of a video like this, you know?
It was a lot. Scott and Dex, who was our bassist at the time.
Yes, Steven.
You have to bring equipment that you don't mind.
Don't give a shit.
Up.
Yeah.
All that wiring's gonna get
fucked up.
Yeah, rusted and shit.
Mike is having a panic attack over here, thinking about his guitar getting wet.
Paper bag.
Oh, it was bad. Yeah, we did like 5 shots each, so you're under that water for probably 20 minutes.
Dude, it must have been so cold, bro.
Oh, and there's no temperature. Holy shit. It's just straight. You know, cold water.
Tap water and shit.
What sucked for me, I had it the worst because the rest of the band members had to do just this shot under the rain scene. Mm-hmm. I had the next location had to do a submersion scene a pool. So I had to get in my car with wet jeans and shirt, drive over there. And by the time I got there, like they had dried off, just to hop back into cold water again.
Get all wet again.
Yep. And trying to take all those clothes off was horrible. My mom has a video of us like just blow drying our clothes, trying to make them look.
No, wait.
My suggestion, I mean, maybe I'm thinking too simple here. Next time you do a video like this, cut the clothes out entirely. What do you think?
I like that idea. I'll watch it.
Wouldn't it be easier to just try it right now? Water out?
I mean, is that why we subscribe to your OnlyFans?
I was literally about to say, yeah, you could go see that video. We have 2 parts of this. Yeah.
Just Wang flopping around in the rain.
Now that's a breakdown.
We call it Hollywood night shows.
Now this is Hollywood dreams, you know, because like, it's like
this location has wet dreams.
Hollywood wet dreams. There
you
go.
You got it. We got there.
This location has rain.
Huh?
This location it's like has set rain. Up. You guys, like you guys had to like do that.
What?
Like the rain stuff?
What about it?
I'm saying, does that location have it set up in there?
No, the way they do is they get a bunch of people to spit off of the roof.
No. I was just wondering if it was like an external thing you brought there.
When you show up, it's almost set up like a shallow pool. So it's like a foot, like you have to step into it like it's a tub. And then there's just a knob on the side where you turn it on and it's almost like a
giant shower
fire prevention sprinklers.
Yeah. Oh,
and so
okay.
It's like multiple of those and it's just, you know, spraying on you. That's nice. It just on and off. And then further on in the video, you'll see the submersion take, which she's about to dip in. So this scene, if you go back like 5 seconds, she goes from laying on the bed, falling into the bed, into the water. And that was one of my favorite scenes. Shot.
Oh, hell yeah. Let's check this out.
So check this out. Yeah.
Let me go full screen on this one. Oh, sick.
That's the submersion tank.
So, Johnny, the elephant in the room.
This is beautiful, I love this.
As a person who likes to
hit. I love my sisters, so this is great.
As a person who likes to hit on people's sisters.
Huh? No, I'm not saying nothing.
yeah, right? Yeah, no.
First of all, I don't know how old his sister is. I don't mean this in any way.
Insulting, well, but yes, your sister is beautiful and does not deserve any sort of fucking bullying.
Yeah,
over
for real.
Thank you.
That's the only thing I'd say.
I was like, tread carefully. Where are we going with this? Holy shit.
No, this guy, trust me, he fucking.
She just got her license. Everybody chill
That's
out.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I didn't say nothing.
No, but Johnny, he likes to pick on me for my sisters because I come from a family of 4 sisters.
All right. Well, I got one for everyone hits on my mom.
There you go.
He hits on my mom too.
If we know,
he hits on my mom too.
If you know me good, I like mom. So
does he need to be here?
I know.
No, just kidding.
We have the ability to just shut him up and
it's
the 3 of us the entire time.
Dude, he's coming after our family tree right now. What the fuck?
So him, he's the instigator here.
Jesus Christ,
this guy, this fucking guy. But I think you and I were kindreds in that. Like, people hit on my mom all the time, so.
You and I aren't so different, are we?
So you ended up having a lot of family members in this.
Great.
Just my mom and sister came to this one.
Yeah, that's
It was her first music video too, and she was so nervous.
That's kind of a cool way. I wish I could do something like that where I could involve my family like that. That's probably a dream come true.
Oh, it was so awesome.
I'd love to make a video with your sister.
I think it's one of our best songs too. Oh my God.
You see him?
I see this guy.
Just shameless.
He's right, dude. At least he said it in front of your
shameless
face.
Shameless in execution.
Holy shit. I don't know. I think he needs to Venmo you or something every single time he says some shit like that.
Like a swear jar?
Yeah, exactly. Like, hey, you can't say that, dude, and get away with it.
It's going to be the Johnny's catcalling Venmo jar. That's what it's going to be.
Johnny's pillow jar.
Yeah. Jesus.
This is great, though. I love this video.
Yeah.
Let's keep it going.
Oh, here's Scott. He's about to rip the shit out of this guitar that don't work no more.
I will say this, man.
That don't work no more.
Your guys' guitarist is a total hot boy.
Yeah, he is.
Hot boy. He's a hot boy.
Yeah, well, his armpits stink.
You're like, you haven't slept in a van next to him.
Yeah. When me and him were coming up together, we actually used to sleep foot to face.
Oh, okay.
We had a share
couch.
So
you got the full scent. Yeah.
He also laughs at missing children posters, too. He's a horrible guy. Yeah.
Not that one. This one. Look at his hair. I like it there.
Yeah, that's sick. I think it looks horrible. Look at him. He's
like
fucking
Goku.
He's just gay.
Oh, he's gay.
I legit had my hair like this when I was in junior high.
He looks like
not,
he brought
not blonde though.
You know what actually happened? We filmed the rain scene and he brought a toaster that was plugged in, and that's why it stuck up.
Yeah. He wanted to do the full Doc Brown kind of effect. You know?
Look at him. I hate that guy. I hate him.
Clip it, Mike. Clip it.
Caught a little bit of nip there.
Yeah. Subscribe.
I like the faceless shirt your bassist has. Or woo! Who?
Well, here's a question I've always wanted to ask. I've had to do it a handful of times. I've never felt comfortable doing it. Acting in a video. All right, here's your motivation. Like, you know, you had this whole scene. Are you very comfortable doing that kind of stuff? Or are you always feel nervous and like awkward or?
It's pretty easy.
At this point?
I'd say for this one, it was a little hard because I knew the backstory to it. But like the other ones where they're more fun and you get to be creative, you're just playing around.
Yeah.
You know, like it's really not that hard to act. Like I'm acting like I'm having a fun time right now, but yeah. I hate all you guys too. I'm just kidding.
He's like, you can't tell right now, but I'm furious.
I don't know if you know this or not, but I'm kind of a Leonardo myself.
I'm just drinking myself to death right now because I'm tired of hearing you guys talk.
I may have been, just kind of forgotten by the Academy right now, but I'll have my moment.
Exactly.
I'll have my moment.
Yeah. I don't know when, but it will.
It's coming.
It's coming. It's coming for sure.
Leads into my like kind of secondary question is you do well. You seem natural in that.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I'm like the Ricky Bobby. I don't know what to do with my hands and all that shit. You know, it's like, I don't know what shape of like running shots. I've had to do like shots where I'm running, you know what I mean? In slow motion and shit. And I'm like, does this look good at all? Like,
yeah. I will say though, for the majority of this video, it's just jamming out. Mm-hmm. So all you got to do is just pretend like you're on stage.
Play.
And it's like, not until this scene where I really have to do acting, so it's
more like B-roll.
It's like 20% of the video where I need to act. So, I mean, you can see, like, I do cringe when I see myself do this because,
you pull it off. I think
it's great.
It's all like owning it till you get to the finish line.
Yeah, all you got to do is just channel what you're trying to portray and hope that it comes out good. That's what I would say about acting. Or at least with this music video.
Yeah, no, you pull it off, man. You seem very natural, you know, in what you do. Very sick.
Dope-ass music video, by the way.
Thanks, man. Yeah, it is like So that one was probably the most meaningful, one of the most meaningful songs, because I wrote one about my sister and one about my grandfather who died.
Oh, nice.
And that one was a good song too. We never made a music video for that. But the other one that was really fun is The Haunted. I don't know if that's up on there, but that was one I got my girlfriend and her older sister to be a part of. And we all just get murdered.
Nice.
And so it's like that one's fun. Easy to act out because
you did like a little horror movie scenario.
Mm-hmm. And I wrote it about a haunted house that I lived in, if you believe in ghosts or not.
I do.
And that was the one where the guy murdered his kids.
That was actually his uncle, if you guys didn't know.
Yeah, yeah.
You said you guys were like this. You guys were close.
No. I mean, he's got his thing. You know what I mean? It's,
he's just that kind of guy.
Some people like to buy cars. Some people like to go and get groceries or whatever the fuck. He likes to kill people.
Yeah. He's a connoisseur of filling up wells with bodies. That's, I mean, that's these are different Yikes. Hobbies.
Yikes. Connoisseur.
But this one was so much fun.
Oh shit.
Oh
yeah. You guys have like a great way drinking. Of doing the like a nice cool like intro that draws you in.
Yeah,
and
does.
Then just a fucking punch in the face when everything drops, you know?
You think so?
I think Thank so, you. Man.
Yeah, so the two bartender girls is my girlfriend and her older sister. You'll see them more. You don't need to rewind it.
Okay.
Like, yep. That's Allie. This is old school. That's my girlfriend Katie right there.
Okay.
Man, this was so long ago. I think I was 20 when I did this one. You can see by my Justin Bieber swoop.
So how many songs in total have you guys released? Like how many songs have you done?
I don't know.
Like that many?
It's not as many as you would think.
20.
Probably like somewhere maybe under 30.
Okay.
I think. I don't know.
So a couple singles, a couple EPs, like a record.
We have an EP, we have an album, and we have multiple singles. And it also, I don't know if you're including, like we did a EDM remix of a lot of these.
I'll include it.
So
I'll
guess you can include those as well.
You'll count it?
Mm-hmm.
I'll count it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So I'm just going to say 30.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool, man. I mean, it is like the hard work shows. It shows out. You guys have like a really... cool, like aesthetic that you guys put out. I personally,
I dig it.
Also, my biggest draw. Your hot boy guitarist. You know what I mean? I'm into him. I'm into him 100%.
Hot hits over here. No, I will say this is the second song I did as the vocalist for Hollywood Nightmare. I had to learn how to scream again. Oh, so if you learn, or if you don't learn, if you listen to it, you can hear my screams aren't really that bulky. Mm-hmm. But it's because I was just a singer.
Yeah.
So I had to relearn how to scream to be in this band.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Let's hear it.
Also, this girl really did get spit in the face with blood. She was a champ. She took it. You'll see it in 2 seconds.
All right, go ahead and clip. She took it, Mick.
Yeah. Right here.
You cut that fool in the neck?
Yep.
Oh, shit.
He spit
blood on her?
All that, yeah.
Now that's acting.
That's cool.
Acting.
Also, Luke's probably the best actor out of all of us. Check out this breakdown.
Now, when you were relearning,
we got a award for this breakdown. I forgot
really?
What competition it was, but yeah, we got number one for this. So play it.
Older sister would continue.
That's fun.
Ooh, I like that shot.
Oh, damn. Oh, no.
Get him.
No.
Get him.
Not the best actor in the video.
He's done. Done.
I mean,
now you guys had to cut him early because his salary was so high, right?
Yeah, that's
I mean, if you're going to get stabbed.
No, because he's wearing that same leather jacket that I wore on the pain tour, so I wanted him out. Fuck him. Fuck him.
He's all on the sidelines. Get him. Get his ass. I want that jacket.
Don't get him. He took my job. He took my. He took your
job. If you're going to get stabbed, you want to get stabbed by two attractive women, right?
Also,
the only way
you know
I
in music videos where mm-hmm. they put fake alcohol, this was all real.
So you guys are just hammered.
So we are, like, in this shot and continuing forward, we are pre-plastered. So when I said hell earlier yes. that we've done everything that, like, a that's young so band think a rock rad, star bro. Does, this is one of those videos.
I want to do that, dude.
Hey, but
real cigarettes, so they got mad at us for smoking real cigarettes while we were
slays,
filming.
Bro. That's fucking
real
sick.
Alcohol and yeah. I'm not saying as you, a flex,
you got,
but
you got three things out of it. You got
everybody's just the trashed. Story,
you got the video,
mm-hmm.
and then you got a bunch of people pissed off. That means you know that that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
that's,
yeah,
pretty,
it is cool.
That's pretty rock.
They
and roll.
Still won't call back.
No.
Oh, they're drugging their drinks?
Yep.
Now, are those real roofies?
Now we're talking.
Come on, no.
He said, I said everything was real. Is another breakdown? Oh, let's hear it. Oh, I like that.
Now you were learning how to re-scream again. Was that fucking you up live?
Yes. A lot of the times. Yeah. I'll get into that in a second. My vocal journey has been quite.
Hey, let's hear about it.
Yeah. Let's go. Let's crack into it.
Right now?
Yeah.
All right. Shit. Yeah. Well, I had to learn how to re-scream to be in this band. And all right, going back to Marcus, our first vocalist, the way I did my first show with Hollywood Nightmare, we were supposed to play a show and he called me saying that he's not showing up. And Scott and me were pretty pissed and we were like, well, what the fuck do you want to do? And he's like, I'm not showing up. So I had to step up and do vocals that day. Scott was like, you're going to have to do it. Like you do the clean vocals. You're going to have to scream too. And so I was like, oh Jesus Christ. All right. Like I'll try what I can. And so I did, I don't think I sounded great that show at all. And so from that point forward, I'll take one too. From that point forward, I had to learn how to do screaming again. And I finally got it, obviously.
Got it.
And then I had to learn how to be a professional touring singer. Because
so every day, or not
every
day,
single day back to back. So nowadays, if someone says that they're like a singer, I want to know like how can they do it back to back?
Yeah.
Like, are you that good to do it every night? Because the first couple of tours we did, I would go hoarse and I'd blow my voice because you would try to do 100%, and you got to learn how to do it in a way where you could continue to do it the next night just as good. Because I was starting some of these shows being really rock solid, ready to go, but I would give so much on that first show. By the time the second show showed up, it would decrease. Third show, decrease, decrease, decrease. And then next thing you know, you're like, my voice is gone. And so that's when I realized, oh, a professional vocalist can do it all the time. And so I was like, well, how do you do that? And so I had to relearn how to be able to scream, sing at the same time, night after night. And that took a while. And I didn't really grasp it till probably 3 years ago, which came with a lot of things before you even show up to the show. You have to, you know, not talk too much. Depending on the state, like in Colorado where it's super dry, I bring like a humidifier and I warm up with that. Try to not talk too much until after the show. Don't drink too much. Don't smoke anything. Like being a vocalist, you have to take care of yourself because it is a muscle. A lot of people don't realize like it's just like trying to get a six pack. There's nothing I could tell you right now that'll give you a six pack today. You have to work for this. And so it's the same with wanting to be a vocalist on the road. You don't just get it off of one little trick, off of one little liner. Like, you have to earn your way to do this. And so when I started here with the Haunted, like, I was very novice and compared to where I am today. And so that's kind of been my vocal journey, is I've learned by failing a lot, you know, like playing bad shows where I couldn't sing, where I couldn't scream. Fire, man. Yep, exactly. It's just the hard way. And so it's been since, like I said, 2018. It's been a while.
Mm. So with you, like, you know, you're a specific, you know, you, how long, what's like the longest sets you usually have to play is like, what, 30, 40 minutes or something?
I would say the longest set we've played was like an hour and a half.
Okay.
But the minimum is usually 30 minutes.
Okay.
So anywhere between 30 to an hour and a half.
Hour and a half.
Yeah, I was going to say.
That's a mission.
Hour and a half is.
That's just a basically bonkers. Like a headlining show. They're asking you guys to stretch the night or what? How does that go?
Well, let me think of an example. When we played in Colorado for the first time, we were given an hour set. So I don't know if it was meant to stretch out the show, but just like. If you are going to stretch out a show, you probably are the headliners.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm not too sure how to answer that question. It's really just on the situation,
mm-hmm.
you know, on what they want you to do. Because sometimes you'll get a show where someone falls off and they're like, oh, now you have extra time. And so now you have to redo the set list.
Yeah, that
figure
was more
out
or less what I was asking. How is long, like, you guys were like, set to do 40 minutes and then they're like, oh, this band dropped off. Like, can you do an extra 20, something like that? You know, that's what I mean by stretch out the show. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So whenever a show has to be stretched out, it's always like in the moment. Mm-hmm. And it's more so like, which songs are we going to fill it in with? But it's you never pre-plan these things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just a part of being in a band. Like, sometimes you just have to do that and figure
again,
it out.
Again, that word, adaptability.
Yeah, adaptability. So that's what I'm saying. Like, it's hard to answer that question because every circumstance that pops up, it's always different.
So that leads me to my kind of final question about, you know, being a touring vocalist on that, right? So when you get hit with that, right? Say, like, you're expecting to do an hour, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, no, dude, you got to go a little bit longer, a little bit longer, a little bit longer. Does that...
Oh, dude.
Like, you know, amp you up, or does it like, fuck? Oh,
it does
shit.
Not. I worry. So the first thing is trying to convince my band that I can't go that long.
Uh-huh, yeah.
You know, like, because in their heads, you know, they're playing the instrument. They could play, you know, two hours straight up. And so sometimes they'll come up and be like, oh my God, we could play for 2 hours today if we want.
Okay.
And I'm like,
yeah, okay.
Oh, you guys can, but dude, if you want me to do good tomorrow, like, let's fucking chill out.
Yeah.
And I will say, like I said, it's all circumstance, but depending on the state, like, Arizona is a hard state to have that come through because it's so hot, so dry. You have to stay so hydrated. Same thing with Colorado, except for you're in big altitude. One of the hardest ones was West Virginia because it was just so humid. I remember it was... like, I'm already sweating before I go on stage.
Show starts.
And you're just like,
swamp balls.
Fuck. Yeah, it's, like I said, very circumstantial, but it sucks. It's not the best.
No, that was like my main question on it too. It's just like, are you excited when you get a longer set? Or are you more nervous? But yeah, no. I mean, I would definitely be more nervous for sure myself. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you don't want to scoff at the opportunity. Like, not too long ago, like, you know, my band, we did, they were like, hey, can you play for, you know, plus an hour to do like a live stream? And we were like, our set is probably about like 27 minutes and we know a couple covers and we're like, fuck it, let's do it. You know? Yeah. So we ended up pulling it off. And it's like, to me, it's like at the end of it, luckily, like I said, some of the stuff was covers, so it wasn't really challenging to my voice in the same way my other material is. But, pulling it off, like, going into it, I was definitely nervous if I could do it. You know, yeah. It's like, fuck, I've never really done this much time. I'm not sure if I can. And then at the end of it, like walking away from it, I was like, all right, we did it. And then my voice was a little sore and, you know, this and this and that. But, you know, I was like, all right, I guess I can do that. At least like when the wild card gets thrown at me, you know. So, yeah. You know, to me, that was like a little bit, you know, like a proving ground for me is like, I'm used to doing, it like feels you said, good the 30, you the know 30 you minute sets that. And stuff. Yeah. So when you do actually do something like that, you're like, all right, well, yeah. fucking A.
You exactly. Know? You're like, okay, maybe like you feel like when a like lifter, you know, gets finally a new does, PR, yeah. you're yeah. like, okay, like yeah. I can do that.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what I was earlier saying, like being a, you know, professional vocalist, like you almost get excited about like how long you could last and right. still sing good. And then some people are just excited because they can sing a song good. It's like, nah, dude, like it's a whole nother ball game.
Now, okay, so that being said, last question.
Okay.
Do you have three favorite vocalists?
Three favorite vocalists? Oh, man, right off the spot. Yes. The singer for Boston.
Okay, nice.
He is amazing. Like, he just, the stamina that guy has. But to keep it modern and not like bring out the relics, I would say nowadays we have Dayseeker and Bad Omens.
Oh, yeah.
Those guys. Yeah, yeah. Are
Adrian?
So
Adrian, is that his name from Dayseeker, the lead singer? Isn't it Adrian?
I don't think it's Adrian. It's not, I'm not too sure. Oh, man. What is
We're going to ask Siri today.
It might be Adrian.
No.
Hey, Siri, who is the lead singer of Dayseeker?
All late.
Rory.
Wow,
Rodriguez. Rory Rodriguez.
He actually lives not that far away from me, too, in yeah. Orange County. Yep.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
Yeah, no, he's a fantastic
Tell
singer.
Him to come hang out with us.
I love his voice.
I mean, I don't know him. I just know he's...
Go know him.
You know who else I know that's close to me is Avenged Sevenfold, and the only one I've met on the street is Matt Shadow so far.
Sick.
Yeah, no, we're familiar with all the people you know and have lived close to. You've met a lot of celebrities in your travels. Mostly, what was his name? Jake, what's his name? Damn it, I dropped it.
You
the guy
idiot.
With the well.
He didn't have a well. He worked where there was a well.
I'd say probably the most well-known was probably Mike Portnoy.
Oh, okay, that's cool.
That's pretty
cool. Our first little tour was with him and what was the band called? Metal Allegiance.
Okay.
So it was like Metal Allegiance has a accumulation of members from other bands. So it was him and then like the guitarist from Trivium and then someone from Megadeth. I forgot there was a couple of members, but I remember Mike Portnoy.
Semi super group kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. And I remember it was one of our first tours and I saw Mike Portnoy just warming up in the backstage and I was like, oh,
that's
shit.
Sick.
Ask me what dope. I told, asked him.
What did you ask him?
I didn't say shit. I just watched. I was in the corner. I was cucking the whole time. I was like, oh, yeah, dude, you fucking play them, guy.
He's like, yeah, inspire me.
I didn't inspire say me. Shit to that guy.
Hell yeah. Mm-mm. All right, well, I mean, awesome, Kyle. Awesome. Do you have any stuff in particular you would like to plug before we wrap up?
Just keep an eye out on Hollywood Nightmare. We're going to be coming out with some new music, so listen to Inferno. It's one of my favorite albums. It's one of our most proud projects, but the next thing that comes out will be a lot better.
Nice.
So make sure you just keep an eye out. Give a like and subscribe to all our music, and we love you. And subscribe to my OnlyFans.
OnlyFans. Any direct links, especially for the OnlyFans?
Yeah, yo mom's number.
Hey! We'll play air horns right there, too. Cool. Mick, you want to start us off on plug?
Yeah. Hey,
also, wish Scott a happy marriage. We're about to go to Korea in 2 weeks.
Yeah!
Happy marriage.
Yeah. That's what I forgot to mention. The whole Hollywood Nightmare band is going to Korea in 2 weeks. So that's if you're a Korean listener... We'll be out there.
Yeah, any Korean listeners trying to set up a grassroots show in you know the back of a bar somewhere, let them know.
Exactly.
All right.
Well, thank you for having me, guys.
Absolutely.
Of course, man. You've been a pleasure.
An absolute pleasure.
Thanks, guys.
Any plugs, Mick? What do you got?
You guys made it this far in the podcast. Thanks again for tuning into the Still Podcast. Again, hit that like and motherfucking
subscribe button. You guys know what a bell looks like.
The bell icon. Boom. Thank you guys for tuning in. I am Mixer Domus. Thank you guys for tuning in. We have Jerry Coyote coming up pretty soon. We are getting it done. I got a new computer. So we're working on some new stuff. I'm going to be done really quick now. So, and the Dunce as well. We're working on new stuff. Pretty basic. Me and Johnny are just cranking it out right now.
Hell yeah.
What they got going on.
Hell yeah. Just follow my band, Dead Widow CA, my other project, Zaida CA, and then obviously Witch, you know, Witch the Band. We got some shows, I believe October 19th, and then December 5th, we have some shows coming up. I'll be playing bass in that band. Been a lot of fun jamming with those guys, and now I will pass it over to Johnny.
Thanks again for watching, guys. I appreciate y'all very much. If you get to this far in the episode, then that means you enjoyed yourself. So I appreciate that. Make sure you follow me on everything. Instagram, TikTok, YouTube is Johnny Savage, JONNYSAVAG. And then, no, on OnlyFans, it's Johnny Sausage, actually.
Johnny Sausage.
For no specific reason. Vienna Sausage, though. And then follow my band, DNG Heavy, on Instagram, YouTube. That's it on those ones. Follow the Dunce. We got some new music coming out, too. I think that's pretty much it.
Do you want to let Mick take us out or me take us out so
one.
We don't have that shitty camera angle of your face?
Pick one.
I'll do it. I want to thank our guest again, Kyle Davies, for coming on. He's been wonderful. This was a great episode, and we had a lot of fun. Remember, like, subscribe, all that stuff. Comment, only negative shit. That's only stuff we respond to. And we love you. This has been the Stool Podcast. Thank you for watching, guys.
Thank you.
We love you.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.